In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we are talking about dealing with crisis. This is part two. If you've not listened to part one, jump back an episode, listen to part one. We'll get you caught up right to where we're at right now. But this is part two of dealing with crisis. And as usual, I'm giving away a free hypnosis guide as we do in every episode. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist, and we're back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Woohoo!
That's Matt Fox in the background, just pouring me a, what are we drinking today?
Very Old Barton.
Very Old Barton. It's very old. Or is that the name of it? Very Old Barton.
It's called Very Old Barton.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that one.
It's a 90 proof, 45% alcohol. It's actually very good. You know, I'm getting a lot of the caramelization.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. So cheers, brother.
Cheers. Thank you so
much. All right. That's Matt Fox with me.
Happy to be here.
Running everything behind the scenes. Audio, video, alcohol. Yeah, yeah.
You want a coffee, too? Yeah. You
want some coffee? Yeah, get me a coffee, sir. Although, I don't know.
Coffee makes me a mite nervous when I drink it.
Sitting in traffic?
Sitting in traffic. So we're back, folks, with another episode. Let me tell you where we're at. It's Podcast Detroit, Southfield Studios, the palatial Southfield Studios.
Here we are.
Matt and I are here. And
if you're not, shame on you.
Yeah. Just a shout out to Podcast Detroit. If anybody's listening out there and they think, you know what, I'd like to, maybe I want to try a podcast, or maybe I have something to talk about that people would find interesting, or maybe you just might find it interesting. Yeah.
Hey, if you have a passion.
Look up Detroit Podcast or Podcast Detroit. Yeah. I said it wrong. Yeah. Look up Podcast Detroit. I mean, there are so many podcasts out there, and not saying that's a reason you should or shouldn't do it, but if you have something to say and you think you would enjoy it, it's fun.
We're the easy button.
Yeah.
You know, you sit down, you have what you want to do, you have your cadence. We sit down and kind of help you, consult you and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, and if you've ever been a little bit shy or a little bit reserved to get in front of a mic, give it a try, man. I think you'll love it.
Yeah, Jamie just sent me a message, and he said, y'all up in my Very Old Barton.
Yeah,
so I have
tell
to respond,
Jamie,
yes.
Yeah. Tell Jamie it's almost empty. Just see what he says.
Oh, no, it's not. I can't lie to him. Yeah, I got a bottle of Maker's to bring in for the studio. So.
Oh, nice, nice.
I promise it's not even open yet.
Right. Oh, the Maker's, you mean.
Yep, yeah. The Maker's. Yep.
So, yeah, folks, if you ever consider podcasting and you're in the Detroit area, look up Podcast Detroit. If you're not, I'm sure there are places around you that will do a very similar thing.
That's right.
You know, you just studio set up, levels are set up. You don't have to worry about technology. Just come in, sit down, talk, and
do
your thing done. Yep. So cool. Let me tell you, folks, where you can find me. My website is MotorCityHypnotist.com. The website, which is in, it seems to always be in transition, but again, a lot of things in the works on the website, including my book page, which we'll get to in a moment, updating the podcast page to make it a little bit more navigation friendly. Mm. There's a new page for the Motor City Hypnotist Academy or Hypnosis Academy, mm-hmm. Which I'll get to in a moment as well. But again, a lot of stuff going on there. Take a look. Reach out to me there and contact me if you'd be interested in a show. Right now, my schedule is free for the next couple months. So,
nice.
If you're looking for a great hypnosis show, reach out to me through my website, contact, and let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Love to do a show for you, wherever you're at. I can't say I've traveled internationally, but I've done shows pretty much all over the United States.
Yeah. You were in what, Iowa?
I was in Iowa. Yeah. I've been in, gosh, I've been in a lot of Midwest states. Of course, that's because it's somewhat closer to me. But I've never done a show in Massachusetts.
Okay.
So if you're in Massachusetts, reach out. Love to go there.
Yeah. You have to have the lingo for it, though.
Boston.
Boston.
Yeah, Boston. I was like, if I want the lingo, I just watch TED.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's wicked smart.
Bear. My teddy bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's wicked smart.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, find that on my website. My social media, you can find me on Facebook and YouTube. Both are Motor City Hypnotist. And on Twitter and Instagram, which are both Motor City Hypno.
H-Y-P-N-O.
Yep. And if you're brave enough, hit me on Snapchat, which is also Motor City Hypno.
All right.
Yeah. Why not? And as usual, we're giving away a free hypnosis guide. That link is in the show notes. So wherever you're listening, just pop in, look at the show notes, and that link will take you right to that page, and you can get it for free.
Awesome.
Again, kind of just a PDF explaining the basics of hypnosis, why and how it works, myths and misconceptions. That's available all the time just because I want to, have something to educate people and let them know. And if they're interested and they can get more information, it's a great reference guide.
Nice.
And most probably the most important thing is wherever you're listening, please subscribe, link, join, connect, whatever the thing
collect,
is on
yeah,
your
yeah.
on your
platform
pod, on yeah. your platform on your yeah. podcast platform. They're all different now, but the whole thing is you want to get my RSS feed coming to you
mm-hmm.
automatically so that whenever a new episode drops, you just see it.
Correct.
Which is a great way to do it because you never have to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
And also leave a review. The reviews help me get out to other people, mm-hmm. help me get more listeners, which is kind of the idea. Mm-hmm. Do whatever you have to do. Just link up, subscribe, whatever it is, and then leave a review. That would be greatly appreciated.
And Dave promises not to lightly stalk you afterwards.
Yes, I will not lightly stalk you. Maybe heavily, but,
Oh, great Odin's raven.
Who is this guy?
Who is this guy? Yeah. Yeah, Jamie was just talking about, what is this called again?
Very Old Barton.
Very Old Barton.
Yeah.
Well, tell Jamie.
No, you've had your limit today. You drink water.
There you go. That's for Jamie.
I'm sure he'll enjoy that.
I'm sure he will.
He'll be like, no, you're not the boss of me.
No, you've had your limit today. You drink water.
That's brilliant.
Yes, it is. So this episode is brought to you by Empower Your Mind for Success, a hypnotic guide. It is my new book, which is available anywhere you can buy books. Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
mm-hmm.
Any local bookstore will have access to order it if they don't have it on their shelves. You can get it in Kindle version and paperback. So grab the book.
Yeah,
It's not a heavy book. It's 150 pages or so. It's not a huge read.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of great things in there as far as practical things. And then we talk about hypnosis and how to implement the things we talk about. And it has a link to a full audio program that you can get that goes along with the book as far as a hypnosis session addressing the things we talk about in the book.
That's right. Yeah.
So, grab it. $4.99 on Kindle, $9.99 for paperback. And I'd appreciate that. And if you do me a favor and please leave a review on Amazon. Reviews are kind of a...
it's a thing.
It's a necessary evil, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Because, I honestly, the first thing I do when I go to Amazon, if it's not something I purchased, I go right to reviews.
Right. Everybody looks.
It's just natural. People mm-hmm. want to see what other people say.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not purchased things because of reviews before. And I've purchased things because of reviews.
Right.
So, yeah, that would be very helpful.
It's like working with somebody on eBay.
Yeah, exactly. And I also want to mention, if you go to the website, back up just a step, the Motor City Hypnosis Academy mm-hmm. is still in the works. We had a date scheduled for the end of October. Unfortunately, because of COVID and this mm-hmm. variant and the logistics of whether we could have vaccinated or masked into the hotel venue, it was a little bit hairy right now, so we decided to postpone that for the time being, but we will have another one, hopefully, in the fall coming up.
Okay.
I'm shooting maybe, I don't know, we'll get the date out as soon as I know it. You'll find it out first here.
Fair.
But if you want updated information, just hit my website and go to the Academy page, the Hypnosis Academy page, and that will give you all the latest information.
I'm still volunteering.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And at that point, when we have that training, if you want to volunteer to be hypnotized and it won't cost you anything, mm-hmm. we'll let you know that as well.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Oh.
Time.
Uh-oh.
That's how winning is done.
All right. This is kind of a weird one because it came out and it was recent. You know, I'm
how recent?
I it can't be that recent, and I don't know why. I read this story and it didn't click in my head that it was probably a little bit old, but I'm going to use it anyway because so it's in Detroit. The Detroit Fire Department, along with one Detroit resident, built a backyard skating rink for kids. An ice skating rink.
Okay.
And when I read this story, it didn't even click to me. It's like, wait a minute, it's 90 degrees out. How did they do this? I swear to God, I'm looking at the story and I'm like, what was I reading? Because, you know, I go through a whole bunch of stuff online as far as good stories and inspirational stories. And
right.
So at some point, I don't know why this one stuck with me that I printed it, but yeah, okay. So it might be an old story, but it's still a cool story. So anyway, the Detroit Fire Department came out and helped Katia Marino Elst, mm-hmm. She saw a vacant lot in the 5600 block of Fisher Street and planned to transform it. We bought these two lots from the land bank, and so we built an ice skating rink on them, said Marino. Mm-hmm. With some help, she bought a tarp, built a border out of snow, and asked the fire department to fill it up for her for the ice rink.
Huh.
She says other community members made donations once they heard the news. She said there are 15 skates here, actual ice skate, pair of ice skates that were donated, and all the kids are getting paired up with them. With 32 kids now enjoying the new ice rink, Marino says the community could use more donations. If you would like to donate any equipment, please email the Block Club. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm going to leave the link in the description, even though it's an older one, because this is probably going to continue into the next winter.
Correct.
When it comes up.
So
I thought it was kind of a cool story that the firefighters got involved and this person actually bought land to make something for the kids of mm-hmm. the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're ever downtown and it's during the Christmas season or holiday season
mm-hmm.
and the tree lighting ceremony
yes.
that happens
yes.
downtown
Campus Martius. Yep.
And they have an ice skating rink yes. that's open mm-hmm. throughout the wintertime.
Yep.
And a couple years back, I used to DJ that evening.
Oh, nice.
So it was like a roller skating rink, but it was
yeah.
ice skating, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was a lot of fun to play because it was sponsored by one of the local radio stations
uh-huh.
and really good friends would come out and everyone would be going one direction and you're playing the cha-cha slide,
yeah,
right? And then you say, okay, everybody, reverse. So they have to stop and go the opposite way. On ice skates. Just train wrecks everywhere.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I learned to skate as an adult, so and I was actually on an adult hockey league for a while. Mm-hmm. But I'm not. My wife actually is a figure skater. She grew up figure skating from like the age of 5 or 6. Mm. So, you know, she can skate circles around me on the ice.
Does it say where the ice skating rink is?
Yeah, it was on the 5600 block of Fisher Street.
Oh, cool.
FISCHER.
FISCHER.
Because there's Fisher Freeway, but not right. it's not that. It's Fisher that. Street,
Got
spelled
it.
Differently.
That's awesome. So that's so cool.
So yeah, I guess I'm threw an old story in from Winter of the Week, but it's crazy.
But hey, winter's coming.
They do. I mean, winter is coming.
Sorry.
Winter is coming.
It is.
No! No! Don't shut me up!
That's a good call, Matt. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
It's the peanut gallery, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's took me a minute to get it because I was thinking of Game of Thrones, but yeah. So anyway, our winner of the week, even though it could be outdated or it might be early. Either way, kind of cool. Cheers.
That's how winning is done.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So part 2.
So,
Back to it.
I haven't heard that.
I know. I haven't had that one on in
part
a while.
Part two.
So part two. So on part one, we talked about crisis. I shared a story of my unfortunate pedestrian accident in my car many years ago. Matt had just had a minor accident.
It's a minor
with your
accident.
Car.
It's just one,
yeah,
one
it's
car.
It's a one car accident. Yeah. And it's frustrating. But I mean, you know, we talked about crises and tragedies like death of a loved one or maybe a terminal illness or something that's a major event in your life and that it can leave this memory imprint. It leaves this film, this story that runs over and over in your mind. And right at the end of episode one, we talked about, well, what can we do about that? How can we prepare for these things? Because these things will happen eventually. Something is going to happen in your life that is a crisis or a tragedy. And it's even if it might be expected, it's still tough. Like if you have, you know, if you have a parent who has a terminal illness, you know what's coming, but the end is still.
Right. It's still sad.
The end.
It's
yes.
Still,
yeah. And believe me, Matt just made me think, yeah, it's still sad. I don't expect anybody ever not be sad or to be immune to these feelings because that wouldn't be human. But there is a way to prepare for it. I've used this story before. You have two people. Person A loses a parent that they've been close with all their lives. They spent the next 8-10 years in just misery as far as grief and anger and sadness. And they have mental, emotional breakdowns and they can't get past it. And they constantly think of their loved one. Then you have person B, again, has had a really close relationship with a parent. They pass away, they go through this grieving process and they're angry and they're sad. And pretty soon they start getting back to work. And you know, maybe in a few months, maybe 6 months, they're back to normal thing. And they don't think about their parent every day, but they do think about them often, but they can think about them and feel good.
Yeah.
The only difference between those two people are the way they think. Mm-hmm. They both experienced the exact same loss, the exact same tragedy. Mm-hmm. So you have to frame the thinking that this is going to help. And I think it helps you to prepare. So I'm going to tell you a couple of things will happen.
So if I was person A, what are some of the things that I would want to?
Yes, absolutely. I think the first one, and we hit on this just as we ended last time, is keep your emotions in check. And I know that sounds difficult. It sounds cold. But you have to use some logics here and say, okay, so I'll give you a personal example. My dad had a degenerative brain disease. Mm. Very odd name. Ganglio-basal degeneration, I think, was the term for it.
Wow.
It mimicked, in some ways, Alzheimer's, but he lost a lot of physical function as well.
Okay.
Because it was kind of in the Parkinson's family, I think. Mm. There were a lot of different information coming back and forth when we realized something was happening with him. Mm. But it got to the point where physically he couldn't, you know, he couldn't get around. He could walk and he could get around, but he, you know, he was, his fine motor skills were gone. He affected his speech. Mm-hmm. So we knew this was a progressive disease. We knew at some point. So at some point along the way, he started getting bad. He got put in the hospital, ended up in hospice. So, you know, at that point it was a matter of, okay, how long do we have?
Right.
So, yeah, it was sad, and it's something that even if I think about it, it makes me sad. But this is the tough thing. I do miss him, but at the time, I'm like, okay, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I've been able to talk to him. I've done what I feel like I can do, and I have to say goodbye. So it's in some people that seems very difficult, or it might seem cold in some way. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to prepare yourself emotionally because you're going to have loss. So here's the thing. Realize the effect of loss and what it's going to have on you. If you're a person has a really hard time with that, you have to start training yourself to say, okay, why am I getting so emotional? And I'm not saying this in a bad way. Why do I feel this emotion that doesn't go away? Why do I get bogged down in grief and stay in it for years? There's something there. There's something that is not allowing you to get through that. So what you want to do is you want to play the scenario out in your mind. That's tip number one. Okay, play it out. How is that going to make me feel? What can I do to make it as best that I can? Can I do something in the meantime that I'm going to feel like, oh, I'm glad I did that before I lost this person? Now, some things you can't plan for. Some crises, well, crisis is by definition something that's sudden and mm-hmm. you don't know. But you can still prepare for things and still get ready mentally and emotionally. Say, okay, if this happens, I have a plan. I have a coping thing that I can go to. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing is when crisis happens is, one, prepare for it ahead of time as far as practicing emotionally and mentally and how you would respond. Two is take action. Mm-hmm. Whatever the crisis is. I'll go back to one of the biggest crises we've ever been through is 9/11.
Yes.
When that happened.
I remember
that shook everybody.
I remember where I was the uh-huh. exact moment I got yeah. the message. I knew, yeah.
And when that happened, all of a sudden you just have this feeling like, oh my God, are we safe? What's happening? What's going to happen to the country? There's all kinds of things can happen at that point. Now I can say take action, but what are we going to do about that as it's happening?
Right. That was something nobody was right. prepared for.
Absolutely. So when I say take action. While you want it, and there's a fine line here, while you want to be educated and informed, mm-hmm. at some point you just need to step away. Mm-hmm. And I remember distinctly my wife and I that day, while it was happening, we both left work and just met for lunch. We just went out mm-hmm. and stayed in a restaurant and ate, had a couple drinks mm-hmm. and didn't talk about it.
Right.
We just got away for a couple hours. Mm. Went back home, reengaged.
Right. See, When 9/11 did happen, mm-hmm. I still had a job to do.
Yes.
I work for a bank. I couldn't just take off,
yep.
but, you know, that was a big concern as well, was the banking industry mm-hmm. and with the towers and everything. You know,
right.
that I had to be on alert just to say, okay, what do I need to do to make sure the customer is taken care of? Because
yes.
everybody was freaking the F yep. out when
right.
it came to that.
So take action. Again, you might not have control over what is happening as far as the crisis goes or as far as the tragedy goes, but you can do something to contain, manage, and lessen the impact. And that starts in you. Here's tip three. What's happened in the past when you faced a trauma mm. or a tragedy
right.
or a crisis?
Right.
How, if you've dealt with something successfully in the past, use that as a lesson, either good or bad. Maybe you didn't react well and you can examine how you reacted then and see what you could do different now.
Mm-hmm.
So put yourself in that something from the past, your history, and say, okay, what were the mistakes I made? What were the things I did well? And focus on those things. That's a big thing. Here's the thing too, is to take care of yourself. Whatever's happening, I remember, I'll go back to my dad example. When he was in hospice, even the last night before he passed away, mm. you know, we were back and forth to the hospital. My stepmom's especially, because she took, you know, she was pretty much there the whole time, and
right.
I give her 5,000% credit for being that person for him. But the rest of us were, you know, we're kind of in and out, and I remember at some point I said, you know, we need to eat. Mm-hmm. We can't, you know.
You still have to take care of yourself.
You still have to take, and that's when I say be intentional in your self-care. Whatever's going to happen is not going to change if we leave or come back.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the fear at that point for some people is, well, what if he passes away while we're gone?
Right.
That may or may not happen, but you can't put your life on hold as far as your self-care goes. You still need to eat. You still need to sleep. You mm-hmm. still need to take care of yourself and the people that are around you if you have a family.
Right.
And those fears, while they can creep in, it's just really something that you need to focus on. Say, the best thing I can do is take care of myself so that I can deal with this when it happens.
Right.
If it's something unexpected, like 9/11,
mm-hmm.
again, take a break. Do something positive at that point that you feel like is going to help other people. That
right.
can channel that anxiety, that fear, that grief that you're feeling.
Almost be a conduit.
Yeah, a conduit. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. If there's ongoing debilitating consequences as a result of crisis, that's when you probably need to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy for anybody to get through a lot of these things, but it is possible. People do it. I mean, people do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people pass away every day. Mm-hmm. Somebody's losing someone. It's
yeah.
part of life.
Part of life.
It is.
Yeah.
you know, or something that's outside of your circle, like you know, country tragedies like 9/11 or somebody being assassinated or something.
Earthquakes
like,
happening.
Earthquakes, yeah, floods, the flooding we just had this week out on the East Coast.
Yeah.
You know, these things are part of life. They happen. So you need to focus on focusing on yourself. And this sounds counterintuitive because it sounds selfish or it sounds...
Even a pet passing away.
Yes. Oh, that's a huge one.
Yes.
Yes.
That is a crisis.
That is a crisis. And that's a tough one. And
I hate to say that, but...
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. That is one of the hardest losses people will ever make mm-hmm. or ever have. That's the hardest loss people will ever have to go through.
Mm-hmm. I've gone through it.
No, I know, yeah. And we all have. So here's the thing, and this is more of a philosophical question.
Okay.
Knowing that unless you're very, very old, knowing... Whenever you buy a dog, know that you're going to outlive it.
Right.
Would you still buy the dog?
Absolutely.
Yes. And people do it all the time.
Or a goldfish.
Or they might not think in that way. Mm-hmm. But like with my dog, he's 9 years old. I know we don't have a whole lot of time left, 3, 4, 5 years maybe. Mm-hmm. That doesn't stop me from, because if people wanted to just avoid that feeling,
right.
They would just never own anything. They would never get close to anyone.
Right.
They would never love anyone. Correct. Because if you're a hermit and you stay isolated mm-hmm. and you're a monk or something, you never have to, I shouldn't say that. I don't think monks are like, I'm not saying that in a bad context. So forgive me, people, if that's.
Oh, yeah.
Rick, we,
sorry.
No, I totally got the thing.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
You know, there's isolation and then there's, you know, just shutting the world mm-hmm. off completely, you know, emotionally.
Because honestly, if you don't want to ever be hurt, be a recluse.
Right.
Pull a Howard Hughes. Lock yourself in your room for 10 years.
Right.
And you don't have to, you will never have to worry about losing anybody or anything.
Correct.
Yeah. But life doesn't work that way. So here's some questions that you can use to empower yourself to help you deal with crisis and tragedy. What's been one of the toughest times that you've gotten through, that you made it through?
Mm-hmm.
And look at that and say, well, if I can get through that, I can get through anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so look at that. Look at one of the toughest times and know that you made it through that. What pulled you through? Look at how you got through it. Was it a belief, a strategy, someone helping you? Was it faith? Was it a person, a place, a belief?
Was it all the
Examine
above?
Examine that. It could have been a combination of all of those things. So how, when you did that, how long did it take you? Examine the structure of it. Did you struggle with it? If you struggled, what areas did you struggle with? If you dealt with it well, what were the parts that you did well? So focus on that and take that as a template to move forward. There are some things you might be able to do better.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things you might want to like get rid of that you did that weren't very good, that didn't work. But look at that as kind of a model to go forward and say, okay, I need to prepare myself. And this is how I'm going to handle this going forward.
Right. So it would be fair to say any crisis that you experience,
mm-hmm.
it's a learning experience.
Absolutely.
For the next time you go through a crisis.
Yes.
You experience some type of a crisis, whether it be the loss of a loved one, uh-huh. a pet.
Pet.
An accident.
Right.
Or a countrywide,
right,
or worldwide
tragedy. Whatever it is.
Right.
Yes. And I know those personal ones are going to be closer to you. And
right.
that might be, it's a little bit different because it's much, much harder loss.
Mm-hmm.
But. As Matt said earlier, and this is where the rational emotive behavior therapy comes in. This is a fact of life.
You said rational emotive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Behavior.
REBT.
All right.
That's Skinner going back to not A.B. Skinner. That's Principal Skinner. I'm not going to remember the name now. So anyway.
All right.
REBT. And... The whole, it's a rational emotive behavior therapy. So we have to realize these things are going to happen. Just accept that up front.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is never going to be perfect. It's never going to be always happy. problems and crises and loss are a part of our existence. Mm-hmm. And again, we're backing up here to like a philosophical view. Mm-hmm. But this is what we are as human beings. These are the things that we deal with and we will have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Nobody goes through life without experiencing loss.
Correct.
It's just a fact. So once you accept that fact, now we can say, okay, so how am I going to deal with it when it happens? And mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing.
I love that.
Yep. So the biggest thing to take from it is if you have ongoing debilitating consequences resulting from a loss or a tragedy or a crisis, it's important that you talk to somebody to help you get through that, to help you get to a point where you can have the tools to work through it the next time it happens. Hmm. Because I've seen people stuck in these states for years and they just can't get past it. So if you're in one of those states, it's important you reach out, talk to a therapist, work it out with somebody who can help you and give you the tools to do it going forward. Because it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Something bad is going to happen again at some point, and you want to be prepared.
Now, thank you for sharing all that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, folks, that is it. We will be back next episode, which I don't know what it will be yet.
Hey, you know what? That's okay.
It'll be one of those surprises. You know,
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Yeah, we'll yell about something. So,
all right, fair enough.
Yeah. So in the meantime, folks, we'll see you next time. Change your thinking, change your life, laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.